This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, there's a lot of controversy. There's been a lot of controversy in this country over immigration policy. And more often than not, I remind folks that as we compare ourselves to other industrialized nations, we are a lot more lenient in our view, in our operation, and in the way that we manage immigrants in this country. And that would be either legal or illegal. The hoops that you have to jump through, the hurdles that you have to jump over in order to gain some kind of legal access to the confines of the borders of this country. Many other countries are a lot more restrictive in doing so. But you know, it's interesting, and I was looking at a series of articles over the weekend as to how different countries are viewing their immigration policy more from an enforcement standpoint. And what I found was a striking similarity to the failures that we have in this country, and how leaders in other countries are saying some of the exact same things, almost the exact verbiage about what we need to do here. As an example, Poland just the other day, I think it was on Valentine's Day, it was either the 14th and the 15th or the 15th, it was the 13th and the 14th, 26,000 police officers, 1,000 border guards, swooped in on 32,000 addresses across the country. Now, remember, Poland is a much smaller country than the United States, right? So you got to put these numbers in context. They were looking for 1,474 wanted people. They arrested a couple of hundred foreigners. They deported just under 200. And the border guards also carried out 2,400 checks on the legality of the stay of some migrants that were actually there legally as to whether or not they've overstayed their time period. And they initiated deportation on another 180, actually another 240 citizens. This operation was the result of Prime Minister Donald Tusk saying that foreign criminals would not be tolerated in their country. Anyone who visits Poland, takes advantage of our hospitality, and brutally violates the law will be deported from Poland, quote unquote. And these crackdowns were kind of the first phase in what the government's campaign and what it would look like out there. Czesław Mrozek, the deputy head of Ministry of Interior and Administration, said to the local newspaper there that their goal was to significantly reduce the number of people wanted on arrest warrants because the current actions are insufficient. They're staying illegally in our country, and that is why we are increasing the number of checks. In 2024, there were 8,500 foreigners deported. 2,500 of those were Georgians. of the 7,300 expelled in 2023, 2,700 were Georgians, according to Border Guard data. They have, I think, a coterminous boundary. But General Adam Rapaki, who was the former head of the Ministry of Interior and Administration, said the following: an action-based fight against crime would not yield sufficient results. He said there needs to be a permanent, systemic actions every day, ruthless catching of those who are to be sent to prison. The actions may look spectacular, but in the end, they will not scare criminals. He added that convicted foreigners should be sent to prisons in their country of origin so that the Polish taxpayer does not have to pay for them. They go on to say that only systemic preemptive actions will make it possible to deal with the problem of foreign crime in Poland, which has skyrocketed in the last decade. So these preemptive actions that they're talking about is basically our immigration laws, what we have on the books. You enforce them. And you don't change them. You don't start doing exceptions and exception-based immigration policies based on executive orders or otherwise. You embrace the immigration laws you have on the book, and you enforce them. And if you're going to spend money, you spend money in the system in order to create an adequate throughput so you can deal with the problem in a timely fashion and not get behind the proverbial eight ball, which is where we are in this country. Right now, if you go to immigration court, you may be allowed to stay in this country 5-6 years before you ever get a court date. That's not going to work. And that's the point that they were making in Poland. You have to stay on top of this day by day by day by day. And even their executives are saying it may look ruthless, but that's the only way you stay on top of it. And it's the only way you deal with illegal alien crime within your borders. Plain and simple. And obviously they've had a number of migration issues because of the war in Ukraine and some other countries. And what they're finding is a lot of folks that are coming into their country are creating problems. In fact, they point out that the dynamics of murder committed by Ukrainian citizens in their country alone has increased by 1,100%. The scale of robbery in the case of Georgians that have crossed the border illegally has increased 40-fold, 40x. Such actions, they say, will not improve internal security. Yeah, no kidding. And he also warned that they have a police recruitment problem as well. Is this beginning to sound all too familiar, right? Which would further exacerbate the problem. And they point out if their vacancies nationally reach 25,000, they will in fact lose the ability to ensure security in their country. That is what would be otherwise identified as what? An immigration crisis, right? And you see this in country after country after country, in EU countries after EU country after EU country. The stories are all very similar. For whatever reason, most of these countries around the same time started to take a very lax attitude relative to enforcement. Some actually embraced open borders. Some may suggest that that's why Friedrich Merz has been elected as the chancellor in Germany. Because the reality is that was a big issue in Germany. And he has a very proactive approach to what he wants to see happen there. And you're beginning to see the politics of this change and become very similar to what we're dealing with here in this country. It's interesting because, you know, we label people from all different perspectives that even talk about this. we're racist, we're this, we're that, you know, and we suffer from all kinds of phobias and the whole nine yards. Well, if we do, almost the entire world is. Because when you look at what changes are being made to immigration policies amongst all the industrialized nations, they're changing. And for the most part, it's one recognition point. They can't financially support all these people. Because if they're less than productive, and they're relying on this, on the social networks for assistance from their government, there's a problem. Taxes have to go up. Costs are going up to live in these countries, putting more pressure in economic development that's just simply not there. And they're behind the financial eight ball. They can't afford it. Their schools are overrun. Their health systems are overrun. Socialized medicine is overrun. Benefits from the government is overrun. And they can't figure it out. And the only way that they can shock the system as they see it today is to close their borders. Because the migration waves continue to happen each and every day. When the word spreads that you can get into a country, you can apply for benefits, you can get this, you can get that, and everything else, this is not a criticism of the folks coming. They want economic security. And if they can get assistance, whether that be interim or temporary or permanent or otherwise, they'll take advantage of it. They're looking out for the best interests of themselves and their family. And that's why they're migrating. But the real point is how long can this happen and at what cost? And can you continue to support that system without any checks? So when you look at a lot of what's happening in this country today, in the reaction to some of the issues that we've had over the Biden administration, what you're beginning to find are a series of executive orders in an attempt to basically embrace the law. In fact, just this past Wednesday, President Trump signed an executive order to ensure that illegal aliens are not improperly receiving taxpayer benefits. And it was called Ending Taxpayer Subsidization, of Open Borders. And it directed all the federal departments and agencies to identify any programs receiving federal funds that provide benefits to illegal aliens and take corrective action as appropriate. Now, this had to deal with a law that was actually on the books that, you know, what we did is we began to do a bunch of workarounds. And this law passed and was promoted under President Bill Clinton. And it was called the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 1996. It was also known as the Welfare Reform Act. It actually established strict guidelines under which aliens may qualify for benefits. The plain text of the federal law says that it generally prohibits illegal aliens from obtaining most taxpayer-funded benefits. Specifically, 8 U.S.C. 1641 generally limits eligibility for federal public benefits to qualified aliens. Qualified is lawful permanent resident, asylees, refugees, aliens granted parole, and their deportation was withheld. In addition to limiting federal public benefits to qualified aliens, it required most qualified aliens to wait 5 years before they could become eligible to apply for federal public benefits. Now, there were exceptions, right? And over the past 4 years, what the Biden administration did by executive order is they started creating legal loopholes to treat illegal aliens like legal immigrants. And one of the tools that they used to accomplish this was that, and we've talked about this on the show a lot, temporary protected status. And this was, they waved the magic wand, and all of a sudden, you were in legal, you were here, lawful presence. So you could qualify for all these benefits. They knew exactly what they were doing with the lure. They knew exactly how this was going to play out as it relates to numbers. And as there were more and more people lining up at the border, what happened was is that they created other programs to make sure that no one could capture video of what was actually happening at the border so that they could secrete them into this country, wave the magic wand, utilizing temporary protected status, and having them fall under the category of lawful presence. Hence, they started drawing down on the U.S. Treasury. There have been some conservative estimates that it could be as much as $182 billion a year, which is about a $50 billion increase since 2017. That estimate was based on a presence of more than 15.5 million illegal aliens and approximately 5.4 million citizen children of illegal aliens. So that number is about 20 million. You hear that number bandied about every now and again. That burden actually cost Americans approximately $9,000 per illegal alien, which means it's responsible for about $1,000 of your tax bill. Goes directly to fund what's happening here. Remember what the Polish officials were saying, is that you have to be systemic in what you're doing every day. Take actions. Have consequences. Instill accountability if any of this is going to make any sense. And it will never make any sense if you begin to create deviations, exceptions, and everything else that far outweigh what the original intent of the legislation was. So it continues to be not only a problem here, you're seeing it in every industrialized nation across the world that are all saying the exact same thing. Enforce the laws that you have on the books. They were put there for good reason in the first place, and there's not a lot that has changed financially or otherwise that calls upon anyone to deviate from that process. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We'll go to the talk lines when we return. We can talk about anything you'd like. So stay with us.